Welcome, welcome to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. This is a special preview. Michael Lee Bullen's in the house. Everybody, you're welcome. A fine looking audience. I am. Most of you are related to me, but my young park.
They're fairly good.
You must have handpicked them earlier.
Fairly good looking, a lot of them. Brandon,
this is special Ulster final preview. Say, coming live from Sister Sarah's lovely bar and restaurant here at Park Helfrich with me as ever. Shortly, we're going to hear from two legends of the game, Eamon McGee and Aaron Kiernan. They need little introduction. We're going to talk Ulster finals, past and present. Then we're going to hear from the main man himself, Jim McGuinness. Oisín Kelly caught up with him last Friday night. We're going to get a few words from him. And then in part two, we'll hear from the Niamh Connell Colossus, John Gilday. John, I get you a new nickname every week. John Gilday is in the house, and all the way from Mahara, special cheer. Look, he's a crowd favourite. All the way from Mahara, home of Derry, the former Ulster champions. Sorry about that, Michael. It's Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life. Thanks very much, Michael.
How you doing, Michael?
Park Helfrich here is producing this other with Africa. He's got help here tonight. The two of them are looking after us here. As I say, Aaron Kiernan's on Zoom there. Aaron, are you hearing us?
Brandon, yep.
Aaron Kiernan's on Zoom. Eamon McGee, you're primed and ready.
Cheers, Brent. Ready to rock here.
Aaron, I'm going to go to you first. Aaron Kiernan, Ulster finals. There was a time when we couldn't win them and yous were lording them, and then yous end up Division 3 whenever we started to boss them a bit, Aaron. But what's your big memories of finals and the special place at Clonus?
Yeah, well, I suppose the first one that I was involved in, my first year in the panel was 04. I was a sub. We met with yourselves in Croke Park. That was the first of three in a row Ulster finals that were played there. It turned out to be a good day for us. But yeah, just in terms of an occasion, it was massive for us to be able to take such a large following down and get Croke Park open for it. To be honest with you, I only won one then in Clonus, but just, you know yourselves, there's something different about Clonus. I think it's what we grew up remembering was the big days out going to Ulster finals in Clonus. So the one where we beat Fermanagh after a replay in 08, which unfortunately is the last one that we have won. It was brilliant. Just great sense of occasion, driving into Clonus and then winning and everything to come with it. Really looking forward to it. Probably fairly low-key in the county here at the minute, to be honest with you. There was a lot of hype last year because it was the first time we'd been in an Ulster final since 08. It's fairly quiet. There's not a huge pile of chat about it, not a huge pile in terms of flags and that sort of stuff up at the moment, but I'm sure that'll build as this week goes on.
Yeah, are you surprised at that, Eamon? Omens, 19 years since Armagh won it. It was 19 years in 2011 when you landed with Jim, phase one, and swept all in front of you. Do you think there's anything in that?
Hopefully not. just like the way that Aaron's reminiscing there. It's good for him, but bad days for us. That was a tough spell. We couldn't get over Armagh that time. In 2004, that was a bit wild hammering we got that day. Stephen Cassidy always says, I made two All-Stars that day. I was switched over to one wing, and then I was in Oisín McConville, and I switched over the other wing on Paddy McKeever, and he reckons I made two All-Stars in one day. So that was my memory of that day. And then, we played them again in 2005. I think it was the first round. Couldn't get over them again. Went to a replay. And 2006, another Ulster final. And just Armagh were the bogey team. And finally break that in 2007. We didn't do much after that in 2007. Yes. But we beat them. And that was a big monkey off our back now. But it's the Ulster finals are special, I think. And we can get caught up and taking the things a wee bit too seriously, so it's just good to be able to say.
Your memories of them days, Park. Were you there in belief?
Admiring Eamon there, getting a bit of a. No, I suppose they were always special days, but getting over the line, and I just have to say, Aaron has really dulled things down for us, Brendan. There's no real hype in Armagh. I don't buy
just
that.
Just another game.
I don't buy that, to be honest.
He's playing acute already, do you reckon?
They're in the long grass.
Eamon, that final, of course. Tyrone, people talk about the semi-final again, the similarities with us. We won Division 2 in 2011. You know, we beat Tyrone in the semi-final. We played Derry in the final, 111, the 8 points. Did you think, particularly after Tyrone Eamon got in that final, that we were ready, that that was going to be our game, that that fear that had built up before already was dissipating?
I think that fear was well gone by the time we beat the Tyrone game. By the time we beat Tyrone, and it was just about getting over the line and getting that medal in your back pocket. And once that was there, it helped the buy-in for what happened the following year, and you know, to push it to another level. So it was the Tyrone game was the big one.
Yeah, and Aaron, obviously the Down game there, they wanted to toss for home venue. It was a poor crowd. Half the crowd that was from the previous year that just played them. Is there something in that with McGeaney and Clonus, sir? And you used to boss Clonus. I mean, there was 13 years there in Ulster Championship that either Armagh or Tyrone were in the final. It was real dominance from the 2 years, and we were on the outside of that. Is there something about Clonus and Armagh and getting back to that level, and that's why McGeaney didn't want to take the toss?
That's absolutely it. Like, if you're looking at it from a player, spectator, everything, why wouldn't you want to go to either Park Esther and Newry or Armagh, because they're just smaller grounds but would have generated better atmosphere, and obviously less travelling for anyone. But to be fair, he had one thing in mind. He wanted to get a run out in Clonus with the view to being in an Ulster final, so he didn't really care a whole pile about atmosphere or whether the ground was half full or half empty. He felt he needed to get the boys out there to get a job done, and they're well prepped heading into an Ulster final. So the way the game played out, to be fair, there wasn't really a whole pile Armagh could have done differently in the game. As soon as Down had got that first score and just retreated everyone en masse straight into their own half, it gave you an indication of how they were going to play. So yeah, I think Armagh, they showed a bit of experience. It was nervy the last 10 minutes.
Was it good preparation, Aaron, in terms of the way they played? Because it's, you know, I think tactics might be a bit similar come Sunday.
It probably would be, but I think the best preparation that they could get was the fact that, particularly that last score, the composure and the calmness that they showed to work out the angles of running, not trying to force things. I think that's where they'll take great confidence, because the reality is, coming down the stretch in every big game, pretty much this past 4 or 5 years, we've lost, or we haven't been able to. It ended up going to draw on penalties, but we haven't been able to get that winning score. So I think that is the biggest thing that the players will take the confidence from, was the manner that they won, and how they worked that last score, because reality is that might be needed fairly often this weekend. You know, where you're obviously coming up against a better caliber of player, a bigger, more physical, more experienced team. So yeah, the amount of opportunities that Donegal will throw up will be lesser than obviously what Down did, and it's just Armagh been showing that composure and being clinical whenever they do happen, and particularly getting the right people on the ball. I think yourself and Woolley had talked a couple of weeks ago. That was one thing that I would say Donegal, I think, will be able to see improvement on themselves, was I found for later on against Tyrone, it was constantly Gallen running down the 10-13 side, and you had Thompson running down the 12-15, where they were, you know, on the wrong side where you needed them to kick this winner. So just small things like that there. I think even Jimmy will have picked up and learned from whenever they are trying to work that set play to get that crucial score at the end. So I think both teams late on and how they won their semi-finals will take plenty that they'll be able to use this weekend.
Yeah, sounds like small margins. Eamon, is it, before we get to what have you made at Donegal this year, Division 2? Has there been enough questions asked? You know, are we surprised with Donegal's style in the Championship, the way they played full-on counter-attack? Were you expecting anything a bit different, or is it just needs must in the games that we're playing?
In terms of Donegal, I think there has been questions asked in the Division 2 campaign, and you know, there was questions without, obviously, McCall wasn't there, Paddy wasn't there for some games, Ryan wasn't there, so the lads stepped up, and there was a stage there in the Armagh in the league final where they really went at them, and say there was a 10-15 minute period time, and again Donegal weathered that storm, came through it. With setting up against Derry, I think, you know, where we weren't too surprised in terms of it was just about getting over Derry. Now, I thought he might have come out a wee bit against Tyrone, but, you know, he did what he had to do. And in fairness, Tyrone nearly caught us out. You know, at half-time, I was looking around, and I just couldn't see the response in Donegal. And, you know, maybe Jim will learn from that too. Maybe Jim will learn that to adapt a wee bit, but it is what it is. I would say we're going to see something, and maybe that's the plan with Jim, you know, just get that Ulster title into these lads, get that belief,
yeah.
And he views Ulster as more attritional maybe, and just go to the trenches with it.
Yeah, and Aaron, is there a pressure on Armagh after everything? No, losing by penalties last year, we keep talking about these big games that you mentioned there, which McGeaney was happy about in terms of eking out a tight, you know, a game where a team was defensive. Is that weight on the team, or do you think they're coming in this thinking this is a shot at the Ulster final and that's it?
No, there's pressure on them, surely. It's been so long since we've won one, to be fair. Like, there has been something building with that group in terms of just the level that they've moved up. There are an awful lot of these boys were operating in Division 2 and 3 and Yo-Yo and for a number of years. They're pretty much up there now as a top 8 team and have been for the past 3 or 4 years. But the longer you go without a title, the more that you come up short in those big games. And, you know, there's just, like you just mentioned, those fine margins or the small things that you could have done better, they could have got you across the line. They all add up, and absolutely, yeah, they do bring pressure. It brought pressure, obviously, within Down County last year in Geezer, where, in terms of, you know, it ended up going to a vote to see whether he was going to extend his term as a manager. So all those things do add up, and probably actually brought a bit more pressure at that stage last year. There hasn't been a whole pile of chat about it now because they're back, they're promoted into Division 1, they're in an Ulster final where we expected them to be. But I think just themselves, they have huge pressure on themselves. We have an awful lot of boys there who were involved in our All-Ireland minor winning team of 09. So that would tell you they're sort of knocking on a bit in years, and this is probably for some of them maybe the last big opportunity they will get to win and pick up an Ulster title. So you have to remember, like, they're all coming in. We'd won Ulster in 08, won whatever it was, 8 or 9 in the build up. So as they're coming through development squads in Armagh, they're seeing nothing but Armagh winning Ulster titles, getting to All Irelands. And now that was their whole aim and their whole goal. And they're pretty much coming to an end of a playing career with their county, where they've given everything and they haven't picked up any meaningful silverware. So I think themselves, they'll be feeling that there. And it's a massive day for us, because my fear is with the whole thing, Jim has this unbelievable aura, and Eamon will know it as someone who was there and played with him. And you said that buy-in that he created. It's, do we overthink this completely? Do we go away from everything that sort of suits the players we have? Do we try to second guess every move that Jim's going to do? And that is the joys you have of having someone with like Jim, and who has the aura that he has. He seems to have that effect on managers. So that's the big one for me, is Geezer, McKeever, Donaghy, Gilligan, and these boys. Are they going to second guess everything and play on Donegal terms? Because if we do, that's where my fear would be. I think we need to still try to stick to our own principles without being foolish, maybe like Derry were at times. But I still think we have to focus as much as we can on getting the best and playing to the strengths of the players that we have available.
Yeah. And Parik, yeah?
Yeah, I suppose just thinking on that part, as we started off the conversation, we're speaking to Eamon about when Donegal got over the line in 2011. Suppose Jim bringing the players back down from last week's victory, Eamon, what's going to be going on within the camp this week, do you feel, from a Donegal point of view? How's the players, how's their thoughts? What was your thoughts, suppose, back in 2011 when you were going into the Ulster final?
I would say the video analysis just brought them down fairly quickly, all right, be that in the Tuesday night or the weekend. I remember we played Tyrone, and we'd beat Tyrone, so we landed in on the, and we thought we'll enjoy all these lovely highlights, and he just started effing and being, and just a few boys got special treatment, and you know, that'll take boys, and obviously there's learning there. It's just not all about shouting, and there's positives to be taken from it too. Like, there's the serious side of it, but you know, he'll take them down, and I think this 2 week break will help, because it's very hard to come down off the high of Derry, you know, go straight into Tyrone. Yeah. Now we've time to digest it, recover the bodies, recover the minds, get the analysis done, and just prepare as best we can for Armagh.
How different was those early Ulsters you talked about to Jim's ones? I mean, was it a complete night and day kind of scenario in terms of preparation and mindset, in terms of pre-Jim, those finals you talked about? Because it used to kick off quite a bit, you know. I'm not going to put you on the spot for happened at the thing.
We've got plenty of colliaments out of them.
We'll just park that for now.
But in terms of the mentality, yeah. I remember going up the Crow Park, the one Aaron talked about in 2004. I think there was pictures being taken, you know, as we walked around the ground and the pre-game, or was it the day before or something like that. I remember people getting pictures taken in the stand, and this was a big day out for us. But, like, you're there to do a job, and it was just learning for us and the journey we had to go on, and that was part of it too. But this, the naivety might be the best word. Naivety might be the best word to talk about them early years.
Yeah, and the change now, Eamon, I suppose you looked at your team, yourself and Paddy McGrath and Neil, defenders. You know, you had the likes of Thompson, Buccleuch, Lacey. Their defenders your team was built around defence. First, now we basically have just got McCall and Curran in there, you know, as defenders.
And McCall can actually score a point now. This is an upgrade.
A very important point as well. Do you know what I mean? So you've got a very different change in the game in terms of, I think probably you can make a forward back in the defender, but vice versa. It's difficult. I know you scored a couple of great points yourself that won the league final. You dined off that in 2007 for a while. But it's a big change in the game, you know.
It is, and that's the way it's gone. The days...
Of course, Frank McGlynn, now he would have been your one half-back, half-forward. He could play anywhere. He was that good.
Frank and Carol Lacey would have been in the category where they're just so good that they could defend and attack. I would have put them in that category. I still think there's a place for, you know, the dog. I still think there's definitely...
There definitely, you know, is.
Yep. There's a place for it.
Young Lucas here now, he might be coming up next.
The way of the game, it's, you need to be good in the ball, because people are going to get in situations where they're going to get in ball, and you need to be comfortable, and you need to know what you're doing, you need to be able to spot that space, because the way it's up, it's nearly just like that old-fashioned thing where it's just a chess game when you're looking, setting up against a blanket. And you can't be eating up someone's space. You need to get involved. There's 15 attacking, 15 defending. And then the attack side, you need to know what you're about there.
Yeah, and Aaron, speaking of dogs, that Armagh team of yours, what was it, 5 in a row you won at one point, was it? It wasn't more than that. I mean, you were...
No, it was three. Yeah, we did maybe three, four, five, six, I think we did, yeah.
Oh, yes. Do you know what, Aaron, at that time in Crow Park, I always said about Crow Park versus Clonus, that you just were the masters in there. I'll go back to that, I suppose, that aura that was built up around that time. And I think for us, maybe back then, you know, tactically we weren't aware enough. And then Jim came in and made it super tactical and then pulled the best out of all these lads. Because a lot of people have been saying that from that team of 2012, the same players aren't there. But I was like, well, pre him coming in, nobody was talking about these guys in any great way. So Jim has a way of moulding them. And, you know, when I look through the Donegal team, Aaron, it's just something, I suppose, from an Armagh perspective. You know, there's so much talent in there, particularly runners coming from deep. Do you think that there's players where you think, we got to pick them up man for man? And I'm thinking there's 6, 7, 8 guys that can put the ball over the bar at any given time coming through. And as Eamon said there, even McCall coming up the last day. Do you think... Is there players you're going to highlight to come through that have to be marked? Because when they're coming from deep, as you know, that's difficult.
It is, but I do think that we have air strengths, obviously, is from midfield up, and players do have the ability to shoot from long range, or your inside forward ball winners like Mernon, who takes your sort of sharpshooters like Turbot and Connolly into the game. So we have a really good mix and blend that we can ask plenty of questions. But I suppose you're thinking out loud as we're conversing and going through here. The rules have completely reversed, where like you've mentioned fairly often, fairly regularly to me in chats about the aura that this Armagh team had and how you use. Eamon's talking about maybe a bit of naivety where it's a big day out. And you were always looking at Armagh and hearing everything for that team. We had the tighter jerseys and what gym session we were doing and the amount of training we were doing. The rules have flipped. Jim has that aura now in Donegal. He has, and what that gives you as a player, it's a bulletproof, it's a genuine self-belief because you have so much trust and faith in him, but you know he's ticking every box and taking you all with you. So whenever you go on the field, you know, you couldn't be better prepared, we couldn't be fitter, we couldn't be stronger. So I think in terms of that's what Jim has done and developed with your boys. It's the Armagh players now. Ability is definitely there. Like, there's no doubt about that. They are good enough to go and win this game at the weekend. But it's those players now on the field that they need to be going out and winning those individual battles, or willing to take a risk or put themselves out there where they isolate themselves in a one-on-one, whether that is defending or whether that's taking a man on to try and create gaps in their running game, or creating gaps that they can maybe get a foot pass going. So the big one for me is, yeah, are we boys who have the bulletproof confidence, who will go out and take risks this weekend, to try and expose Donegal or put them into areas or isolate them in situations that they don't want to be and that they haven't planned for. So that is the huge one for me. Like, Down obviously were ultra defensive. Donegal, like we'd mentioned, are much bigger, better and well prepared. But the fact that none of our forwards scored from play the last day, that would be worrying going in this weekend. Did they have an off day? Did they think that they were just going to turn up and get it easier than what they did? Or did they not cope with what was faced in front of them? I think we'll find out the answer this weekend, because those same questions will be asked a million times harder than what they were against Down. And it's, can they cope with what is coming and the pace and the intensity that Donegal will bring? Because if we don't, we're not beating Donegal. It's as simple as that there. They have to be able to see out whatever Donegal throw at them and still be able to impose their own game on it. Because that was a major issue that we had the last day. You're not winning us final if no forward scores will play at any stage.
Yeah, and I suppose that's one thing that Jim probably has brought in this year. He's allowed, there's a lot of different score options across the pitch, Eamon, you know. We see, all right, you've always seen Patter Mogan, but also you've Niall O'Donnell, you've Shane O'Donnell, you've Brendan McCall, as you've touched on there as well, and Keelan McCullough as well. So you have a number of guys that can actually, he's given that license, more creatively, maybe this year, I think.
I just think it goes back to Brendan's point that there's a lot good ballers out there, and they're powerful and they're pacey, and they're going to get in situations where they get behind, and you know that shot's on now. In terms of, you know, just listen to Aaron talk there, Armagh as a neutral, if I'm looking as Armagh, it's the way frustrating team. If you look at the league final, there are 15 minutes there where they just went, and we've seen that over the years where they just open up. You know, Rain O'Neill just kicks in the gear. Like, for me, Andrew Murnan is as good a target man as what's about, you know. So Stephen Campbell's another man that can just take an ocean and just kick in the gear. And that's my biggest fear, that Armagh just click. You know, and hopefully Jim has that. We can just shut them down, but there's so much potential in Armagh team.
Yeah, and of course, Aaron didn't mention the three subs that come on that all scored. I know one of them was a mark. You see, he's holding stuff back, him, and he's not...
Aaron knows the game.
Dropping the gears.
He's not giving it away.
Is there a match on Sunday?
I tell you, he's keeping it low-key, isn't he? Do you know what? You mentioned there the league game, the final, right? Like, if Armagh take us on at our game, we're better at it, I think. Aaron mentioned it there, a wee bit of bravery. You remember 2022 when Armagh strangled us up in Croke Park, you know, after we lost the Ulster final to Derry, and it was a wee bit of a physical attack on us. But it takes a bit of bravery to play that type of game, and because if it backfires on you, if Donegal get out of the press and get up, you're running into space, a bit like we did against Derry. Armagh brave? You know, we mentioned the backroom team, McKeever, Donoghue, Gilligan's come on there this year. You know, surely there's a plan there to go and use your physical attributes, because they're huge men. They have a big height advantage over us.
It just comes back to that, you know, the whole dynamic with McGeaney, and he has good people in that backroom team, knowledgeable people. You know, Conley's there, Donoghue's there, McKeever's there. all people with very good, very coaching awareness. And the dynamic with McGinney is there's so much pressure on him now. He's been on the road. There's no medals with a good group. You can't say otherwise. So do they all sit around the table when they're preparing for the Ulster final and say, we'll go for it, we'll do what you're after saying there, Bryn? Or do they sit back and say, we'll try to absorb here what and go at Donegal the way, set up more or less the same way Tyrone set up against us, we'll go at a few men, tag Ryan McHugh, tag Ashingallen and see how that works out. So there's pros and cons there, and say this management game isn't easy, crack, and so it's up to them. They'll
He's speaking from experience.
Oh, experience, but he's up next when Jim's finished this evening. So, Aaron, big question for you now. I'm going to put you on the spot. Rafferty's in nets, right? Silence.
Sorry, Brennan, go ahead.
Rafferty's in nets for yous. That's the bombshell we're going to drop tonight. Hughes is out, Rafferty's in.
Ethan hasn't played any football all year. I spoke to him whenever he originally got the injury, and he was very hopeful he was going to be back for early in the league and he was going to get the full season, but I think it just ended up that there was one complication after another, and then the poor man went and got himself married in the middle of the whole thing there, so I'm not sure whether he went on honeymoon and that set him back for a wee bit. But it was great to see him, that he was back in the squad and he was out on the field fairly early before the down game. And look, like, obviously he's moving really well. There's no issue with him whatsoever. That would be something that I think would throw a big curveball, and it brings a totally different dynamic than what Blaine. Like, Blaine has done brilliantly this year, come back in, and he's steady with his kickouts, and he has plenty of experience. But if we're going to try and unlock Donegal, or we have, you know, that stalemate where you're sort of manned up against somebody, definitely what he has, the pace that he breaks out at and the ability he has to either shoot or pass off long range off the outside of the boot, it is an X factor. So if he has been going well in training, which I've heard he is, and he's back to himself, it'll be a big call for Kieran to drop Blaine and put him in. But ultimately, I think he will, because I just think it just adds something totally different in a game that will come down to fine margins and everyone being paired off. It just gives us a plus one.
Yeah. Eamon McGee's interesting because, Aaron, you've seen what, obviously, the role of Morgan the last day and having a player of his ability, it caused Donegal all sorts of problems. And Eamon, honestly, that's the word on the street now. If
You know, that's the way I take that as Rafferty's going to start. I think McGinney's going to roll the dice. And he's Garn's 100% right in terms of that as the curveball. Yeah. Because what Morgan is athletic, and Morgan's probably overall the best flykeeper in the game. But what Rafferty does is he'll sit out there and he can actually punch a hole in that line. So you look at the way Donegal, if they go defensive and set up on the same zonal thing and they move across, Rafferty can take the ball and he can punch a line, and he has a sweet left peg in him now, and he's smart with the ball. So I'm hoping he doesn't start, but going by what Aaron's saying, he's going to be in the nets, and it's a big plus for Armagh.
Speaking of sweet left foot, he hadn't a bad one himself. Yeah, listen, Aaron, that's the fact. Aaron, listen, I'm not going to keep you much longer. I know tonight Barry O'Hagan was supposed to come along. And his mate's dad passed, so we send our condolences there. Aaron, of course, you see him all the time as you go in smaller fish. He came in last minute. What a great guy to come in last minute. He's a good mate of mine. Aaron, always brilliant to talk to, man. We'll see you up in Clonus, and we'll shake hands after we won the match, all right?
We will indeed, boys. We'll see you all. Meet you at the bottom of the hill for a beer on Sunday evening.
I look forward to that one, Aaron Kiernan. Good, great to chat, man.
Good luck, man. Good luck.
Brilliant to chat there. That's the first part of this funny. Stephen McGee, great to see you.
Cheers,
you're kind of half Unions man at this point.
The wee ones are at Unions there now, and I'm just walking.
Hopefully he's trying to pull you out, Termin.
Hang on.
These Termin boys, the border's coming over the hill, I'm telling you.
I'm
down
walking
the
into Unions every Sunday morning. I'm just thinking back, I fought with him.
Listen, it's great to see this man down there. Brilliant. I'll tell you what, fantastic. Listen, as ever, Eamon, thanks a million.
Cheers, Brent.
Folks, coming up in part two, we're going to speak with John Gilday and Michael McMullen. We also have an interview coming up shortly from Jim McGuinness. Sinead Breen's here. with the family, enjoying fine dining here in Sister Sarah's. The Devaney and Monaghan clan and Kelly's are all there. Give us a wee shout there. You all right? There's Connie. There's Funtown men and everything in the house. How's it going, Connie? Listen, here's Jim McGuinness now. Osh and Kelly caught up with him on Friday evening last to get the words from the man with the magic touch.
Jim McGuinness looking forward to an Ulster final. I was thinking coming down the road in the car as we came to the press area tonight. It's been 10 years since you were last in an Ulster final. Is there any comparisons? Is there any sort of difference between the two? The build up to them?
I suppose Oisin, very, very similar in many respects, you know. Obviously huge games to be a part of, and massive games for the players to be a part of, and obviously our supporters as well. It was fantastic to get out of Celtic Park with a result against Derry, you know, and I think that sort of was a bit of a catalyst for us and put a bit of belief into the group and a bit of belief into the county. And to be able to follow that up then the last day against Tyrone was huge, and so we find ourselves there now. And listen, these days they're very unique, special occasions, and you have to embrace it and enjoy every minute of it, and obviously try and bring your best performance. That's what they're all about, because if you don't, you're not going to win. And so absolutely looking forward to it now.
How's the bodies of the players? Because it was a tough 7 days, 8 days, so it was. Two big games against two of the powerhouses of Ulster. What were they like afterwards? Because I'm sure it takes its toll, so it does.
No, they were sore. There's probably still a couple of bodies that are still sore, you know, that we're trying to manage this week and sort of get them right. And we're taking as much care with them as possible. So, it's been great on one level, you know, the energy that comes out of a result like that. And then, you know, the 2 week break as well is helpful. It gives us a bit of breathing space this week to sort of get our head around things, and I suppose the fact that we played Armagh twice already, you know, means that it's a wee bit easier as well. You know, obviously you'll be doing your analysis, but you know, you do know the players and you've seen the players sort of up close and personal on two occasions, and how they move and what they can do and stuff, and the same for Armagh with our lads. So yeah, you're not starting from ground zero, which is very, very beneficial. But every single second counts at the same time.
Will it take a surprise to be sprung, maybe, if Donegal's going to get over the line here, given that maybe both sides know each other so well, having met twice already? Is there something different to come?
Well, you know, I think every game that you go into, you're always looking at that aspect of it. You know, you're always looking at a situation, you know, what can we do? Where's the weaknesses? Where's the fault lines? And Armagh will be doing the same. There's no doubt about that. But I suppose when you're playing a team fairly regularly in consistency, there is that element to it as well, where, you know, the players that play in these games, you know, they themselves are playing a certain way all their lives, and you do learn to understand sort of their style, if you like. And so, yeah, some players are quick and powerful, other players are playmakers, and, you know, all of that sort of filters into the mix of the tactics for a game.
Yeah. Sean Patton has been a huge member of the tactic team with his long kicks. What's the latest in Sean? Obviously picked up that injury. Yeah. Didn't feature the last day. Will he be available for the Ulster final?
He will. He'll be available for the Ulster final, thankfully. And he's doing good. And he was back on the pitch last night, you know, and getting through his work. So we're delighted about that. You know, as you say, like a huge part of the group for a lot of years, and obviously integral as well to a lot of the things that we want to do and like to do with the ball. And without using too many puns, a very safe pair of hands.
Yeah. And listen, we're just over a week out from it, and I know that you treasure this Ulster title if it was to come. You have a couple already from your previous terms. Does that be treasured as well with the players? Donegal haven't won one since 2019, so they lost in 2022. Do they hold that same sort of treasure of an Ulster title and what it would mean to them?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, they do. Of course, you know, and you know, there's a lot of fellas there, I suppose, in the group with a lot of Ulster final experience. But equally, there's a lot of fellas there that haven't experienced that. And, you know, this would be a very special one if we could manage it, you know, with the teams that we've already played and the team that we're going to play. And obviously for Armagh, it would be a hugely significant one as well. You know, there's a drought going on from their point of view in Armagh, and a very, very proud footballing county that, you know, that have huge aspirations themselves and have been so close on the last number of years, going to penalties last year, and huge battles with a lot of different teams around the country in championship football over the last couple of years. So we know what we're going in against, a very seasoned you know, team that understand sort of, you know, these types of occasions. You've seen that with Tyrone yourself. You know, Tyrone walked into that game last week and they managed the game, they managed the ball, they controlled the game. And you could see that there was a number of players there that were well used to playing in big games. And you could see that there was a number of players there that had been there and done that with Ulster Championships and in All-Ireland. And that sort of came to the fore very much, I felt, in the first half when they were able to manage us and manage the game and control the game. So Armagh have a lot of that as well. And it's just important that we will be able to be ready for that part of it as well.
Just finally, you're unbeaten this year, so you are in league and championship. Is this the sort of target that you wanted at this stage in your first year, Jim? Because you came in long term with looking at 3 years to develop this Donegal squad. Mm-hmm. Has this come maybe a bit quicker than you thought, or are you where you want to be with that you came with?
Not really. Like, you know, we still are developing. Yeah. Like, we still are developing, you know, and there's still a number of players that haven't played for us this year yet, you know, really, that could come back into the team either this year or certainly next year. And, you know, so we haven't really seen the full sort of mix of you know what they might be able to do. So so we are still very much in building blocks, you know, time frame, if you like. And it does take time, you know, take time to understand each other, to understand what we want to do in terms of game plan and sort of confidence to come from that. So really a lot of it, Oisín, is about managing that and trying to win in between. And the only way you can do that really is just literally take every single game on its own merits. Yeah. And that's what we've done throughout the championship and the league so far, and that's what we will do for the Ulster final. It's a game of football. We know what's in the other dressing room, you know, and we want to try and sort of create a plan for the boys that can help them sort of get over the line, and that's what it's about. And if we can manage that, then, you know, that'll be that competition over. Mm-hmm. And the same process will begin for the All-Ireland series, and in the process of that, continually then looking to add to the game plan and to give players exposure to football.
You haven't paid much attention to the draw this week, have you?
No, I haven't, to be honest with you. You know, our sole focus has been on, like, obviously I heard the draw, but I haven't gone back, to be honest with you, and had a second look or had looked at groups again or anything like that. You know, this is a hugely significant fixture in Ulster football, and this is where our focus should be, and this is where our focus is. And, you know, the other side of it will take care of itself in due course.
Yeah, indeed. The draw, and of course, connotations to winning and losing Ulster. I think you certainly don't want to lose it anyway. Tim, my God, the man talks sense. Now over to the boy that talks very little sense. Parry Calvary, Parry. We'll get you mic'd up here. Is it good to go there, Joe?
Yeah, no, I'm just working with this microphone. No, it's good. It's great to hear, Jim. I suppose full focus on Sunday. He's always been.
We know we're going to be prepared.
Exactly.
He's get the best from the players, and what else? That's what he brings.
I was just speaking to John Gallet. Just, you know, it is just a work ethic. First of all, that's the first rubber stamp from McGuinness. Is you got to be very, very fit. You got to work hard. And. And John was explaining to me a couple of times he didn't work hard for Glenties, and Jim had a word. Sorry, Jim.
That's why I retired.
I tell you what, he did have a damage before he did. Hey, just over the weekend, the bank holiday weekend, the Termin boys invaded Gudore. I was down Gudore, and Chad Campbell, of course, had to give him a message. Your boys all landed in.
Did a weekend off.
Rebel Fest.
It was good to get them down,
get
the hair down.
Some boys.
It's important too to bond, you know, and get. You can't take things as serious, you know. They're locked in rooms, and we just let them out for one weekend.
I was getting calls from a Killy Biggs, a Stag, Thomas Maguire there, wee Jason Byrne from the Sun. Them boys were ringing. Let's just say they were in great form. They were bouncing off the four walls, you know. But I'll tell you what, it's good to be here this evening. Of course, our local councillor, Kieran Brogan, hopefully will be along at some stage. He's out knocking on doors and kissing babies and doing what he does best, you know what I mean? So his campaign manager, the Pigeon, is here now. He's not knocking on doors. He's knocking back jars at the bar there. He talks a good game.
Pigeon, he needs to get out in the street, do a bit more knocking on doors. Like, but suppose as we look forward to next weekend, Brian, the excitement. I know Aaron was on talking about it's low key in Armagh. I know a lot of people in Armagh. They are reeling for this one. And suppose, look, you know, come from last year, from the penalties and everything, you know, they will feel they'll have a serious, serious chance. And looking at it, Donegal going in, look, we have a serious chance as well. It's probably one of the most tightest calls, you know, Ulster Championship finals you could see. Who's going to win it? it's going to be a hard one. And just talking about
it
next
can't
week,
be more than a point or two you're feeling, right?
Definitely can't. It's going to be very, very hot in Clonus as well, and we just know, as John was saying as well, both sides extremely, extremely fit, you know, and it's just a mouth-watering tie as well. Hopefully it's like the Connacht final, which was very good yesterday as well. But
yeah, 100%. Listen, John Gaudet and Michael McMullen have joined us on the couch. Michael, we've all our man Donegal stuff so far. As a neutral, which you are, I'm sure you love the two counties very much in your own way. How are you seeing this tie?
I can't wait for the final, to be honest. The word is it's a sellout. And I wish, obviously, Derry was in it, but that's gone. So I can't wait. And I wouldn't rule out extra time and penalties. And as a neutral man, you'd absolutely love that. But the thought of Clonus packed, Armagh are obviously ravenous for silver, you know, 2008, a long, long time ago. Donegal, and I suppose Jim McGuinness has a special relationship with the Ulster title. He's only lost one championship game. And even the scenes you see on YouTube of like the bus coming into the Diamond after winning it, and even the lads kitted out, you know, in the sort of social gear
the
after
bond,
it.
Togetherness.
They, you know, usually you get to an All-Ireland final, you're kitted out. Even that there tells you what they think of the Ulster Championship. And you can say what you like about the draw, the qualifiers, they don't exist this week. But I still think it's unfair that draw took place.
I agree.
I know Jim has said there that, you know, you're not thinking about it, but you probably are somewhere.
Yeah.
But when the ball goes up on Sunday, that's completely irrelevant. I think that's what I'm looking forward to about it the most.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just wish Derry was there.
You'd be back, no doubt, or you could be waiting for us in the long grass. I actually don't want to talk about the draw, really, because there's so much to talk about in this Ulster Championship. But should you lose, you have to face the Derry boys in Derry. Do you think, like, as soon as that game's over, it's very much bang, there's a huge game coming, whether it's Donegal or whether it's Tyrone or Derry?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that's the case, but as Jim pointed out from his perspective, and he was very honest about this at the very start of the year, his focus was Derry day one.
Yeah.
Then it was whoever came after that, in this case Tyrone, and we all know the affinity that Jim and Donegal have over the last 15 years with the Ulster title. It's hugely important. It's hugely important for this new group of players as well. I know we have some old seasoned heads there, but there's a lot of new young players there that haven't experienced that. And what Jim has done this time round again, and he was very focused on the last time, is that he's brought that connectivity between Donegal people and the Donegal team again. And I think if you look at really successful teams worldwide, if you look at South Africa, and I don't know if anybody looked at that documentary on South Africa, it was about more than the game. It was the identity of the country. And what Jim has done again with Donegal is that he's made the Donegal senior team tied lockstep with Donegal people and made them proud
again.
They've
done it so quick.
And so quick. Yeah. But he came in with an aura already, because he's already done it.
Yes.
And I think an example of that was last week, and I told two little girls down in Marble Hill that I'd mentioned them. You have Maisie and Emer, and my own wee fella Tig. He had the Donegal team stayed for an hour after the match in Derry, after a tough championship match that went extra times. They were dogged, they were tired, they were sore. You know yourself. They stood for an hour afterwards, taking pictures, signing autographs, and that means so much to the people that went to that game. And they give that after they give everything for the shirt during the game. And that's what he's brought to it. And with that, then you get huge support and huge encouragement. So no matter what happens on Sunday, everybody's still going to be behind this Donegal team.
That's a massive point there, John. From that point of view, I was out on the pitch with my own wee lad, and it was just, there was thousands of people stepping about, and it was brilliant, because from a Donegal footballing point of view, you need heroes, and you need to, you know, push that on to the next generation as well. And that's probably something we haven't done over the last while. And giving the players the opportunity as well, it was just brilliant to see Jim surrounded with I don't know, there was hundreds of kids looking at him, you know, and even, you know, the different Patrick McBurdy giving their time. He had Shane O'Donnell, he had the whole lot of them. It was brilliant. And it's something that we did lose over the last number of years, I felt anyway.
And it feeds into everything that he does, in the sense that I know it's great of the players and management to give that time to the fans, which is incredible from a fan perspective. But there's also an amazing amount of feedback from them. That you know, you can go down as far as that admiration, that love, that
that feeds in. It makes training on a Tuesday night a bit easier. Might make coming down the straight against Armagh with a point in at New Day and with 5 minutes to go, you might make that extra run or you know whatever. So with McGuinness, it's, you know, people are always like going into the Derry game. What was he going to pull out? What rabbit was he going to pull out of the hat? But I remember back a long time ago when England won the Rugby World Cup and somebody asked Clive Woodward after, you know, a year or two later when he went on his tour, what was the one thing that made the big difference that got England across the line? And he said it wasn't one thing, it was a thousand things. And we'll go back to you, the guys being kitted out properly. It was having the right physios, having the right gear, having the right food, having the right connection with the fans. And it's about building all that. And that's, you know, Jim spoke about it, that we're still on that development journey. This team's only started. Even to get to the level of conditioning that Jim wants them to be at, they're not there yet. They'll be there next year or the year after. Yeah. So all that's,
you've got to be very careful with the criticism then, John, around styles and that, because he's just in. He's just building, you know.
And for me, and, you know, Jim won't thank me for saying this, and I don't mean it in any way negatively, but it's, from a Donegal point of view, we're ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, coming out of Division 2 was incredibly important. That was the agenda. Getting out there and getting people back on board. And over a 10-month period, he's unbeaten. He's come out of Division 2. He's already got his first silverware. He's beaten the raging hot favourites for Ulster and one of the top three for the Ireland and Derry, and in a way that nobody could expect. And the game against Tyrone, what he did was, or what the team did, and I found him immensely positive, was they were beat two or three times. They went 3 points down, they came back. They went 2 points down, they came back. And they found a way of staying in the game. And that gives you a huge amount of self-belief as a player. You're not going to go away. So when if you're thereabouts, you know you have it within yourself to get across the line. And, you know, Donegal are coming with a nothing-to-lose attitude. Mm. All the pressure's on Armagh. You know, Michael Murphy made a very good comment on to Oisín McConville during one of the broadcasts. You know, and he said, oh, we'll see you in the final. And there was a bit of to and fro. And Michael said to him, well, listen, we're 10 months into our journey. You're 10 years into yours. And that's McGeaney's 10 years into this. They have no silverware.
Division 3.
This is a big, 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 big game from an Armagh perspective.
What do you think? Well, because, listen, I totally agree with what John's saying. See what you mentioned there about the medals. That bit of experience, do you think there's very much a pressure on Armagh? Donegal have also champions in there. They have Jim. You know, there's definitely a great management team in the back of Armagh, but the two games we played, should have beat them, really. Should have had a couple of goals. Bossed them in the league when it counted in the league final. Do you think there's very much, it's hard? No, I still think it's going to come down the wire, but, you know, as a neutral, do you think it's hard to make a case for Armagh beating Donegal, or if they're brave in the Rafferty element, is there a possibility there?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure in Armagh. Obviously, 2008, as I say, is a long time ago. And touching with the lads, the points they made, the players realise the importance of the Donegal factor. Like Pattern Mogan after the Derry game, Shane O'Donnell after the Tyrone game, talking about the kids and the colour. You know, that's definitely a big plus. But you're talking about the Armagh factor. Like, even Jim coming in as manager, it makes you sit up and think. And when the word came out that he had built the wall, regardless of what he did behind
built the wall,
but regardless of what
good old Trump,
we're not going to start saying, but regardless of what he did behind that, it automatically builds up that siege mentality.
Yeah.
And then the players will believe absolutely everything he says because of what he's achieved. Then he is confident they're going to beat Derry, and everything that he has planned for against Derry has worked, so that self belief has gone through the roof. Now you have a scenario where Armagh are wondering, do we start Ethan Rafferty? If they don't start him, it's a disadvantage because they might need that extra bit of width to open Donegal. But it's a risk because he hasn't played any football. And then if they do play him, you get the feeling Donegal will have a plan for it anyway. But it's nearly like a psychological thing as well. And the other Armagh thing is, do they start Stephen Campbell? It's the debate that's been going on for years.
Yep.
Because I think he was the only real significant spark they had in the league final.
To break the line.
You know, it changed when he came on. You can talk about, you know, the long-range points that they got, but he brought that spark. So I think they're under pressure to start him this time.
And would you keep Ray in his midfield role? Do you think that's the role for him?
I think I would, and I'm contradicting a thought process I had a wee while ago, and Eamon touched on it with Murnin. Murnin and O'Neill up front would be a brilliant duo. Mm. But as Tyrone
and Derry... It's like a Michael Murphy scenario, wee bit, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. But as Tyrone and Derry found out, it's a waste of diesel putting the men up top, because it's going to be like an Ethan Doherty further away from goal.
Yes.
Or like a Kieran Daly. So I'm wondering, if he starts Ethan Rafferty, does he tap into what Glenn did against Niamh Connell? Niamh Connell defend gnarly. Glenn had an approach where they went for attack and marks outside. And then maybe we got something like nine of them in the game. Mm. And, you know, the Niamh Connell and Donegal is very much...
similar, yeah.
It's very much of a... So my point is that something he's going to try and do? Yeah. So they need Rian O'Neill and maybe Ethan Rafferty to make those passes, yeah, to try and tempt Donegal out. Because there's no point in putting all your eggs in the full forward basket.
Because if the ball's not coming in.
Because as much as McCall was good, he didn't need to be overly good, because the system won. The narrow system. And that's the good thing about that behind the goals footage. It probably gives you a better insight as to what way it happened. So I think that's where Armagh are going to have to go. And it would be a massive call. But I can see Ethan Rafferty starting on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so too. John, just them points about the Armagh shape and how Donegal looked exposing them. I mean, the Cork game was the only game we've seen Donegal really squeeze up the pitch. It was the first league game. I was like, wow, they were like attacking, turnovers, blocking up channels. They were doing everything. But since then, that's what I was saying about Division 2, the boys earlier, we probably didn't need the, you know, I think there's different ways. I mean, people, I think, have overanalyzed Donegal as being too basic in terms of the last couple of games. They've had a game plan. They've decided that's how we're going to play. I think there is other sides to this. We just haven't needed it yet. And I think when this comes to that double bluff situation with Armagh, if they stand off us, then we're better at it. The only scenario we see in there gives them advantage is Rafferty.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in a situation where you're underestimating Armagh. Like, we've played Armagh twice in the last 6-7 weeks. And there's been a point in it. There's a kick of a ball on it. And from an Armagh perspective, they were saying some of the better players weren't there. So, you know, Jim is very clear that every game you play is unique in its own right. It'll take on its own dynamic. I was somewhat disappointed with the performance against Tyrone, because there was a number of times. Tyrone tried to play us in a set pattern where they cut off certain avenues, and particularly certain players. But we had players in really good positions, scoring positions, and they refused to take the shot on. They could have turned and gone down the middle, because you could have driven a bus, because I was directly behind it, down the middle of Tyrone defence at the time, because they isolated certain players and going, he's a kicker, we don't have to worry about him. So if you get those kind of chances against Armagh, people have to have more courage and take them on, and do that. Armagh are organised, structured, they're very McGeaney-like. They're going to do what they're going to do. They've been doing it for a long time. I think this game will hinge on how the big Armagh players are dealt with, or how they play. I think they have, at this stage, maybe bigger, what you would maybe call names, the Rian O'Neills, etc. out there, that if they have big performances, that will have huge influence on the game. Very much like the Derry situation, you know, Jim hammered the hammer. You know, he went after the big guns in Derry and shut them down. And to a certain extent, that really curbed the Derry performance. And then we were able to implement our game on them. The same.
Just on that, John, like, he didn't focus on Ethan Doherty until he had 3 points scored. And then Kieran Moore went on to him. But by that stage, the ship had sort of sailed. And Moore made an awful job of him in the second half. But it was nearly as if Jim says, if we don't concede goals here, we're winless. And from a Derry point of view, I think that's the most worrying thing about that day, was that the width that Derry brought to the attack, Jim basically decommissioned it. If you went to the corner flag, it was good luck to you. You still have to come back in again. And that's where I think Armagh are at. Do they fall into that same trap? And that's a concern. I think it's a concern everybody's going to have against Donegal.
They are, yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. But you just don't know what way Donegal are going to shape up on Sunday, because they have, and Brendan said, like, maybe people are over analysing them from a very basic point of view. I suppose the thing about any sport or anything in life, if you get the basics right, you're going to be a long way there. So Jim's going to be very focused on the basics to start with, to get them right. And they'll try to impose their game plans. But just like Derry, they were cautious in the first minute, you know, 15 minutes against Derry. They had their game plan, but they didn't go out and try to squeeze and push and do everything. They eased into the game. They were very, I suppose, reticent again in the Tyrone game. They didn't come out all guns blazing. I think they need to start on the front foot against Armagh, because I think if Armagh get into the game early, like Armagh controlled the league final for 15 or 20 minutes and didn't put the game away, but it took them, you know, 40, 50 minutes to get into the game. But if Armagh come out and get into the game early and put us on the back foot, then that changes the whole dynamic. So I think Donegal need to start strong. The stronger we start and the more pressure we put on Armagh early, the more pressure is going to come on them. And going down the wire with all the near misses that Armagh have had over the last 6-7 years, doubt's bound to creep in. Are we going to get across the line? Are we going to go the same route again? And the crowd's going to get into it. You know, Armagh didn't travel big for the semi-final. I would imagine there'll be a lot of orange there on Sunday. It should be an amazing atmosphere. You have two vocal crowds. You have two managers that have very distinct and high profiles and big personalities. So don't be surprised if Neil McGee gets booked again. And, you know, so... like even Neil retired managed to get booked the last day. Nobody noticed that. I was going like, the man's incredible. He doesn't
have. Watch McGinnis very late. You know, so
I don't know what Paddy Power booking is, but or betting is at the present point in time. But there's definitely good odds that McGinnis and McGee get sent off.
Yes, that'd be a good celebrity scrap, right, man?
It certainly would. But I think you're even selling the game even more. I just think it's. You look at Galway, you look at the emotion they brought to that Connacht final.
Yes.
You know, like PJ and John Concannon celebrating after the final whistle, like that wasn't made up emotion. Sunday's exactly the same. I think that's what's so special about it. And I think that's what makes neutrals look forward to it. You know, that's at the end of the day, people want emotion, they want drama, they want things like that. They want a man getting a yellow card after the first minute. Even the Armagh down first round of the championship. There was a wee bit of needle at the parade. Wee things like that happen.
And I just want to touch on it. I think we haven't seen a proper Ulster Championship match yet. You know, like back in the good old days when there nearly was a row before the game started? The referees, for me, coming up from Leinster, have destroyed what Ulster... You know, there's been no physical... There wasn't one tackle in the Tyrone game.
They're ready to blow the whistle every challenge.
Everything's a free, even though it's not a free. Yeah. So I don't know much about the Mayo ref. He's named after your good self as well. He's probably a distant cousin. You know, but again, you were a forward, so you liked yourself free, so that may be a disadvantage. Yeah, yeah. But I'm hoping that he'll let them play. I'm hoping that he'll respect the occasion and let two teams go at it. And let the crowd get into it and make it a proper Ulster Championship match.
Well, listen, we're obviously all back in Donegal. Mel, what's your feeling as a neutral? And is it going to be heading back this way? Are we going to be back in the Diamond, rock and rolling Sunday night?
I think it goes all the way for a start. But
you think pens maybe?
I wouldn't rule it out because of the margins.
Like, Ian, that's wild pressure in Armagh.
Yeah, but like, think about the margins there was in the Tyrone game. Like, I fancied Donegal to beat Tyrone, but it came down to, like, Gallen didn't get a free. There was a time he went for a goal, got turned over. He's nearly gone.
Mm.
I said from day one, I thought whoever came out of Derry and Donegal and Celtic Park would win Ulster. With 10 minutes to go in the Tyrone game, I thought that was gone. I still stick by that, but it's going to be tight.
Tight all the way. Listen, that's brilliant chatting you as ever. We can't wait for this match. Whatever happens, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fascinating. But it takes a lot in the background to get our boys up to what they're doing. Sinead Breen's here, as ever. Sinead, great to see you. Sinead, there's a bit of a fundraiser going for the lads, for the training fund.
There is indeed, yes. We launched our Ulster Final Squares initiative last week. So basically there are 100 squares on each page, and you just give your name in to any of us on the committee and we allocate a square to you. You pay €200, which goes towards the costs of...
Just a wee €200.
That's it, yeah. You can club in together or whatever way.
Oh, it's just a bit of fun, family. Yeah, chip in.
But yeah,
like the Super Bowl thing,
it's
the boxes.
Exactly like that. Yeah, only it's
Only it's a game much, that don't, won't put better. You to sleep.
Super Bowl's all right if they could rally it off a bit quicker.
It's too late at night.
That's another one. But look, it's, the simple facts are that our teams require an awful lot of resources.
This is for all teams.
All our teams, yeah. Now, obviously, it's going to work off the result of this game, which is why we're calling it Ulster Final Squares. But we have an academy which is full flow. We have our hurling and football senior teams. We both, our minors are still in competition and going very well. Our footballers at minor level are through to an Ulster semi-final next Saturday week. So it takes a lot, and we have our treasurer Grace Boyle and fundraising chair Kieran Kelly, who are demented, doing everything known to man to try and give the resources that these teams require. So we're looking for the Donegal people to back us, to back the progression that we've made in the county in the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, because that's all part of it, guys. It takes some effort and it takes cash at the end of the day. We've got to raise it, and I think it's a nice wee angle, you know, to give a wee bit of fun on the day, watch the score lines, and maybe your box will click. And
this is it. There's €5,000 to be won, so €2,000 for the successful score at half.
John Gilday is taking two boxes right now. He's loaded, this man. He's loaded.
In a romantic candlelight dinner with Jim McGuinness, I'm sure you'll send many more.
Yvonne might be sure happy about that.
Jim would be mad to be like a huge love it.
I can't see.
There's an idea now. Get John in the background. Listen,
you can ask him, John.
Should you be brilliant, David, for County Board? I want to thank Joe Dex, Park Humphrey, as ever, everybody for helping out tonight. Michael McMahon, thanks so much. He came all the way from Mahara there. John Gilday, of course, Eamon McGee was on. Thank you very much, people. I'll see you. We'll chat next week.